welcome to episode 192 of Game Over Nation. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Gabe Philbin.
192.
And Dylan Roush.
Hola for the third time in a row.
This episode, we are going to dedicate to one of my favorite franchises, Metal Gear Solid. Metal Solid Gear, as Ain't It Cool News once said in an interview with David Hayter.
Did David Hayter correct them?
He did not, which drove me crazy.
He didn't want to impose. Maybe he thought they were doing a bit.
Yeah. It was some lady that didn't know the series at all, and so I was like, why is she interviewing him? It's like somebody just gave her the task, interview this voice actor, and she's like, all right. But, yeah, Metal Gear Solid, the first one's my favorite game of all time. Let's go through all four of them and then touch on five by the end of the show.
So, two of us here, our favorite games of all time is one of the Metal Gear Solid games.
We'll get to yours later.
Yeah.
We'll get deeper into that later. All right.
I said we'll get deeper. All right, Metal Gear Solid 1, PS1 game, 1998.
Episode 1.
Changed the game.
Changed
Are we going to ignore the NES ones for now?
Yeah, we're talking about Metal Gear Solid.
This is a solid podcast.
Okay.
There's no room for Metal Gear here.
We're not talking about games where you fight a computer. Talking about boss fights.
I have a pretty memorable, at least for me, first encounter with Metal Gear Solid, the first one. I went to a friend's house and he had a collection of he had a demo disc that used to come with PlayStation Magazine. And
I remember those demo discs. Those were awesome.
Yeah, they were really, really cool. And you know, it had demos for maybe Crash Bandicoot 2 or 3 at that point. A couple other things, Jet Moto, one of them. And this game, Metal Gear Solid, and I had no idea what that was. Had never heard that title before. And I'm like, I'm gonna check that out. And just right off the bat, I was playing something like nothing I'd ever seen before. I mean, there was the music was that woman that like choir, The Best Is Yet to Come. Yeah. And there was credits like while you were playing. It was like a movie, and the voice acting was really solid, and no pun intended, all that stuff. And then like it got really crazy once I got outside. Well, you get into the elevator and it has that awesome scene where Snake's taking off his scuba gear, and then the camera pans up and says Metal Gear Solid, and it's like, holy shit, this is super cool. But the game really changed once you got outside and you could actually interact. Well, you could interact with guards in the opening area, but like once they noticed that your footprints were there, and then they start following them, and that you could knock on walls and they would come to you, like all this stuff blew my mind. I've never seen a video game with these kinds of mechanics before. And also the production value was through the roof, which is a staple of the franchise. But yeah, I mean, it left a mark that I would never forget, that playing that demo. And that demo ends with the DARPA chief dying in his jail cell. So, and Snake just going like, what the hell, you know, and that's, then it's like, buy the game. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, I didn't have a PlayStation at the time. And it wasn't until my brother bought a PS2 that I ended up going, what was that game? I had forgotten. And then I was in a GameStop and I saw Metal Gear Solid on the shelf, and I looked at the back and I'm like, I think this is it. I think this is that game I played the demo of like forever ago. So I bought it just hoping I was right, and I definitely was. And yeah, my first time playing through Metal Gear Solid was over the summer on my brother's PS2 in New York, and it was one of the most memorable video games I've ever played in my life. So that's my experience with Metal Gear. How about you guys?
I have a similar similar beginning with the first game.
Yeah.
I had Metal Gear on the NES. I had played it. I did not put two and two together that this was kind of like the sequel series.
Yeah. It doesn't help that the NES version barely resembles the actual MSX game.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I have the demo discs. I got the monthly demo discs. And I would play them kind of every month just to see what kind of cool games there was. And I tried out Metal Gear. And I wasn't very good at it at first. So I kind of gave up pretty quick. So I didn't get the end of the demo. About, I guess, 4 months later, or maybe a year later, I saw it in an issue of EGM, because I had a subscription to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they were talking about just like cool things in the game that you could do, which one of them was like punching Meryl, getting inside the box, and then having the wolves pee on the box. And I was like, whoa, that's hilarious. And then I read more and more of the game, and I was like, all right, I'm going to try this out. So I rented it from Blockbuster, or was Hollywood Video, actually. Sorry, not Blockbuster. And it was awesome. I thought it was fucking cool as hell. So I ended up buying it about 6 months after that, when I can actually afford it. And I, you know, it didn't take too long to play through the game. But, dude, it took me a while to get into it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it was totally worth it.
So, the first time I played it...
last week.
...was on a PSP.
Oh.
What is this baby here?
Hey. The first PlayStation console I owned was a PS3. So, yeah. Took me a little bit to get there. I actually played through the Metal Gear Solid games, I think as out of order as you possibly can.
You played them backwards, I think.
No, I played 4, 1, 3, 2.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, I don't exactly know how that affects my opinions of these games, but it's kind of a weird timeline.
At least you got the first one out, or the worst one out of the way first.
But we'll get to that.
You like sandwiched the worst ones, the best ones in the middle, and the worst ones on the end.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, Metal Gear Solid 1, like, playing it then, like, I kind of just have to appreciate it instead of, like, I don't know, actually, not that I didn't enjoy it, but, like, it didn't have the effect on me that it had on Javi and Dylan when, like, you guys first played it,
Well,
yeah.
You...
I mean, it had left its mark on the industry.
Yeah, like I live in a world where like it already existed, and then I go back to it. Would have been over a decade.
You
maybe like
grew
a dozen years.
You grew up in a time where it was normal.
Yeah,
we grew up in a time where it was not normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd say it's my second preferred Metal Gear Solid game. It kind of goes... I really like Metal Gear Solid 1. It kind of like swings back and forth with Metal Gear Solid 3. I think 3 is like clear-cut the better game in
I agree.
Most I agree. Ways, but 1, I just... It's... like, the way Metal Gear went, 1 is so like innocent and not... entirely batshit crazy. It kind of like spouts like, oh, nuclear policies and
mutually assured destruction.
So, yeah, deterrence, and like all this garbage that like when it all gets put together doesn't really matter in the end. But like Metal Gear Solid 1 had like amazing, like memorable boss fights. The Metal Gear Solid 4 fucking ripped off. Don't like that. And I want to say that my favorite thing Kojima wrote in all of them is that conversation with Sniper Wolf after that boss fight. I really like that scene.
Because Sniper Wolf's the best character in the first game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't really remember Naomi at that point. All I know is I fucking hate Naomi now. I imagine it'd probably be about the same then. But, yeah,
to be British.
Yeah. And Mei Ling used to have a horribly racist accent.
Yeah. Yep.
I forgot about that.
Was it racist or... I don't know. Like,
no, it's just she had a heavily... She had a heavy... Chinese accent.
Yeah. And
which she lost in the fourth game.
Yeah, I guess she just got... She was acclimated enough at that point.
Is it less racist because she doesn't sound Asian now?
I don't know. It's, like, just fucking weird that they changed that. So, Kojima is no... It's no new thing for Kojima to change voice actors. That fucker. Yeah, like, for me, Metal Gear Solid 1 is special, but it's not the best.
I don't think you probably had... I don't even think we had... We didn't have internet when I was playing Metal Gear Solid, so... I actually had to have the authentic revelation of... What the fuck is the back of the CD case? Like, I was looking through all of my inventory. You know, I was looking for a CD case in the game, and I couldn't find it, and it was driving me crazy. I was stumped on that for, like, hours, and I had to turn the game off. And I remember just, you know... casually, like after dinner or something, I was just looking at the case for the game, and I'm like, wait, maybe, no way, and I turned it around, and I'm like, and it has the frequency, and it has Snake just saying Meryl, and I'm like, oh my god, and like, moments like that, and then also, what is it, when Naomi Psychomantis reads your memory card, or he tells you to put the controller on the floor.
So I still kind of had that moment with Psychomantis because I was playing on the PSP and I was like, how the fuck do I change a controller port on the PSP? Because I knew about it like going in. So I was just like, they probably just changed it. I'll just fight him a couple times. And then like it wasn't working at all. It's like, the hell is going on? And then Miller told me to just change the port. It's like, that doesn't help me right now. And then, like eventually I just held down the button. Like the that PlayStation button.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it gives you that option.
Yeah.
I was like, god damn it. So I still kind of had a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. I was freaked out because at that time I was huge into Castlevania from the beginning, so I had a Symphony of the Night save. And he was like, I see you like Castlevania. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's... And for an impressionable mind, like that sequence is really spooky. Like, Psychomantis is a really creepy character, and him breaking the fourth wall and talking to you about the games you play or making your controller... Like, yeah, of course it was gimmicky. I'm going to move the controller across the floor. It's cute, but, like, at the same time, if you let yourself get into it, yeah, it's really effective in telling the story and making you, as an audience member, a part of it.
So how do you feel about...
And then, like...
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, and then, like, the torture sequence where you have to mash triangle. I remember not being able to do it and like, ending up dying and losing all my progress.
Oh, Otacon ending for you.
No, because you'd have to hit select, and I refused to hit select, so I would just take the hit and then get sent all the way hours back and have to catch up again. But all of those things, those are, like, iconic moments from that game that I honestly don't think any of the other games have one-upped yet.
The stealth... I was gonna say the stealth camouflage on the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck
that. That was kind of ridiculous. but
I thought it was Otacon's weird it wasn't 650 pounds. Yeah. No shit, you're not that fat.
Yeah.
What kind of elevator only holds 650 pounds?
Not a very solid one.
But how do you guys feel about... Like, Metal Gear Solid kind of introduced the very obvious, hey, this is a game, like, I don't know what the word is, just like not hiding that it's a game of like
it breaks the fourth wall.
Press the select button to do this. Snake, hit the action button.
I thought it was funny. Like I would always make fun of it, but I kind of appreciate that it didn't dance around it. It's just like blunt, and it has the characters say that, you know.
I like that it breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's different. Like, it's very weird, and in Metal Gear Solid fashion, it's like that. That is, when I think Metal Gear Solid these days, I just expect like weird bullshit, and I kind of like that. I actually really like that.
Yeah, there's not enough weird bullshit.
There's plenty of weird bullshit.
but like, in a good way.
So, next up, just go in order.
Yeah.
Two. Might as well, baby.
Metal Gear Solid 2. The biggest hoodwink, maybe in all of video games.
It's interesting that at 2, Kojima's wanted to walk away. Like, he was... I think 2 was him burning the bridge.
Yeah, 2 is very much... The tagline for 2 can be, I'm done making Metal Gear.
Yeah.
I don't want to make Metal Gear anymore.
This is what you get. This is it.
Of, like, 2 is...
This is the ending you deserve.
2 is full, like, commentary on... And, like, criticism of, like, the games industry and, like, hype and all of that. And then it just got ruined when they kept making him make games.
Well, it's... I mean, if you look at it, it's pretty interesting because it's literally just a remake of the first game.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point of the story, even. It's
Solid
a remake
Snake
of
simulation.
The first game. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get much more blunt than that of how he feels about the game industry and his own games, even.
Which, like, so I did a pretty hard face turn on 2 of when I first played 2. I was like, fuck this game's goddamn garbage.
We say it's one of the worst ones, but I still love that game to death.
I think it is the most interesting.
So, okay, let's put this in context for me. I was diehard, like, in love with the first game.
See,
the second one was on the horizon, and I couldn't wait. I was waiting.
I want to cut in here real quick.
Yeah,
because I consider this game one of the catalysts of us becoming friends again.
Probably, yeah.
Because in school, we were both super hype about it, and we started talking about it, and then we were like, oh yeah, we went to school together.
That's right, yeah. Because Dylan and I met in second grade in elementary school, but he moved a little bit south and ended up going to a different elementary school, so we were estranged all the way up till seventh grade, where we were reunited in junior high. But we remembered each other from second grade. And here we are all these years later.
Thanks, Kojima.
And we couldn't shut up about Metal Gear Solid 2. And like every day was like checking out like GameStop previews or something.
I would load up game trailers, and back in the day you had to download an AVI fucking video that was compressed to hell over your dial-up connection. You had to download the whole thing so you could watch it. Game trailers was literally just a list. That was the whole website. It was Metal Gear Solid 2 trailer, this trailer, this trailer. It was just a fucking list in an Excel file.
I actually kind of missed that format because I didn't have to wade through bullshit to get what I wanted.
Yeah. Anyways, so I was highly anticipating Metal Gear Solid 2. It came out... Well, I remember that 9/11 actually happened right before the game came out, and that's the reason why before you start the game it says, this is all fictional, you know, not based on anything. Because like, the opening sequence takes place in New York with a terrorist attack on the boat. So it was a very awkward time for that game to come out. But yeah, I remember it came out, and it blew my face off. It was taking all the mechanics of the first game and bringing it to an all-new generation on the PS2, and it felt like it. You know how, like, everybody says that, you know, PS4 and Xbox One don't feel like a generation leap? Well, Metal Gear Solid 2 from 1 felt exactly like that. So everything was in a higher resolution. There was rain was or water was falling off the snake. He
Metal
would
Gear
sneeze
Solid
if he was outside
is
too long.
Still, like, a technical feat. Like,
it's,
each
yeah,
bottle
it's
leaks, leaks its liquid, like, its own individual liquid.
It's
like,
funny.
You can
I know
break
those
the
games...
ice cubes by shooting them. Like, it's
right.
insane. Like, that Metal Gear Solid 2 is, I feel like that was when Kojima started just going crazy with detail. Like, unnecessary detail.
I love that but detail.
Yeah,
I don't think
it.
It's bad. It's just like, it is totally unnecessary, but he does it.
I don't think I know games look better than that game now, but I don't think any game has ever matched how, like, floored I was by how that game looked.
Yeah, because nothing looked that good yet.
That was, like, for me, that was the reason to get a PS2.
Sure.
And I was like, whoa!
So, I mean, I was buckled in and ready to go on whatever ride Metal Gear Solid 2 wanted to take me on. So, I played the tanker mission with Snake, and then all of a sudden, what the hell is the next one? The plant? Yeah, plant started.
Big Shell.
Big Shell,
and they're calling you Snake, but the voice is just slightly off, and I'm like, what the hell? What's happening? And then you can see a little bit of Raiden's hair out of the mask, and it's white, and I'm like, I'm so confused. Did I miss something? Is there, like, an extended universe that I don't know about? You know, and then slowly it starts to dawn on me, like, okay, that's a code name of the terrorist from 2 years ago, and then you meet Pliskin and all that, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I don't know, it all felt right at the time. And I was, and even when shit got super weird and, you know, the Colonel's like, you've been playing the game a long time, turn it off. It felt similar to Psycho Mantis, where I'm like, oh my God, it's talking to me, the player. And, like, this is creepy and really interesting. The ending definitely confused me, where Snake's talking to you in the middle of a crowded street and no one cares that this big arsenal gear just smashed through the Washington Monument or whatever. But so none of that made any sense to me. But overall, I was so, like, in love with what they had done with the next iteration of Metal Gear Solid that I loved MGS2. I thought it was amazing. It's only, like, in hindsight where I'm like, that was unacceptably vague. Like, it was batshit crazy, and if you wanted to look at it as, like, a story like you did the first game, it doesn't work. There's too many things that don't make any sense or aren't accounted for, and it's asking way too much of the player as far as, like, accepting nonsense. And so yeah, there's all these analysis videos about how MGS2 is a postmodern brilliant masterpiece. And that may be true, or it may be just people figuring this stuff out and Kojima's like, yeah, totally. and if it totally works as that, though. Like, I've seen all these theory videos and I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. That's very interesting. But that doesn't save it from its problem as a storytelling game. It's not telling a cohesive story. It doesn't make sense. It's nonsense, honestly. And I can already hear you, Heidenweiss, fucking writing a comment saying, it makes perfect sense. Read the 1,000 pages of what happened to yada yada. No, it's everything is far-fetched, at least. I don't know.
I don't think Heidenweiss is a arguer for it makes perfect sense. I think he just likes Metal Gear Solid 2.
Okay.
I think Metal Gear Solid 2 for it being that weird commentary. I don't want to speak for him, but
right.
I think, knowing Heidenweiss, I think that's why.
I just know that the internet is full of people that think it's perfect writing and it's brilliant and everything is right and good and there's an explanation for everything, no matter how unsatisfying or ridiculous or retconned the explanation is. It's perfect and right, and you should like it because you're a Metal Gear fan.
Kojima's not a good writer.
He has some issues, for sure.
A lot of issues.
Yeah.
So for me, Metal Gear Solid 2 was the last one on the list, and I did it through the HD collection. And I started.
God, you were so late with these, man.
Yeah. Yeah. The closest one I played to launch was 4, and that was, I think, in, like, 2009. But onward. Metal Gear Solid 2, I still really like... I think, like, the... was it Tanker?
Yeah.
But yeah. I think Tanker is, like, maybe the best demo ever.
It's really good.
But, like, playing through that still... Like, I love that part of the game. Playing as Raiden, I think the level design is wholly uninspired and boring. The boss fights in that game I don't care about too much. I really like the guy who rolls around on rollerblades.
Fat Man?
I like Fat Man.
These hands create works of art.
Like, he's the only one I actually, like, remember, like, somewhat fondly. And, like, I hate Vamp. I hate everything Vamp has to do with Metal Gear. Fuck Vamp forever.
Vamp is the low point, I think, in both number 2 and 4.
There's a lot. We'll get to 4 later. I have some words for 4. But, like, Metal Gear Solid 2 is just... So starting it and getting to that Raiden part, I put it down. Originally, I just said, fuck this game. It's not good. Why do people think this is good? Fuck it. And then I started seeing all these videos about, you know, how Metal Gear Solid 2 is actually kind of designed to be this weird, abstract, not, like, total sense-making, you know, be a little nebulous game for a reason. I was like, that's actually kind of cool. Like, that's the part of Metal Gear Solid 2 I can, like, still fuck that game, but I can like that. And then I finally went back to it last year, I think? I was like, I can get through this. I'm just gonna... This is the only Metal Gear Solid game I haven't played. I'm just gonna buckle down and beat this game. And I did. And I got to that end part, which I originally, like, laughed off, like, when everything starts going crazy. Like, it's all glitchy and, the Colonel's just, like, making no sense. I thought that was, like, stupid and was, like, supposed to be all, like, edgy or something. Like, that's probably my favorite part of the game now. Like, just getting to that weird, like, reality-breaking moment of the Colonel saying, turn the game console off right now. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Who is this guy? And, like, I love that part of the game now. As for that Metal Gear Ray fight that happens during there, not a big fan. Think that's pretty butts.
Where you fight, like, 18 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and try that just... shit on fucking hard. And
no. Because doesn't it just, like, increase the amount of rays you have to kill?
Yes.
Like, the entire horizon is just Metal Gear rays.
It's a cool visual. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Where is this place that can store that many?
And like...
Exactly.
That bit of Snake jumping off the top of the, like, of the ship, chasing, like, right after the Metal Gear Ray jumped into the ocean, he just dives in after it and then somehow ends up on the shore. Totally fine. Yeah. Talking to Raiden.
None of it makes sense.
No.
Like, if you're trying to, like, take it at face value, it's nonsense. Okay, so you could argue that Raiden is in a simulation. This is all VR. So, okay. So that's it? Just the whole game is VR? None of it was real? I don't know. To this day, I'm not sure.
I don't think anyone is,
Javi. Yeah. If you know, leave a comment.
So should we get on to 3 now?
I haven't talked about 2.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about 2.
Talk about 2, then.
I don't have much to talk about 2, because I played the demo again. That's how I started it. And the demo came with a copy of Zone of the Enders.
That's right.
So I got Zone of the Enders.
I think Zone of the Enders came with a copy of the demo, Dylan.
Yeah, no, it's the other way around.
Much like how Crackdown came with the Halo 3 beta.
Right. But to be honest, because I bought this demo, it introduced me to a different series that I actually fucking love. So, Metal Gear Solid 2 is nothing but good. And I have no, like, ill thoughts of 2 really at all. The ending, yeah, it's confusing, but I must have plowed through that game in, like, a weekend.
Well, I mean,
which is actually really easy. It was short. Super. I think it's the shortest one, to be honest.
I don't know. I think one's probably...
Number one might be shorter, you're right.
One's pretty short.
The really weird thing about 2, like, thinking about it now, just how these games are all, like laid out, is that 2 just lets you skip the tanker mission entirely if you want. And you can just start out as Raiden.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't know if it does that the very first time you play it on PS2.
The first time you were forced.
The HD collection. Yeah, the HD collection lets you choose, but the original version is you have to do tanker first.
Yep.
But that's all. Once you've done that, you can choose.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with Raiden.
I don't either. I like OG Raiden. I think.
Raiden gets worse later on, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, he doesn't have any posters on his walls.
Huh? What?
That's what fucking Rose says.
Oh.
She walked into his room and...
I'm pregnant.
Man, I hate those conversations with Rose so much.
Rose is the worst character in number 2. And she's not even a character really in number 2, she's a robot.
Rosebot.
Rosebot. Beep boop. Anyways, that's all I have to... 2, I don't have much to say. I don't have bad to say, and I can't overly praise it, because it is, I think, one of my least favorite ones. But that's because the other two are just so fucking good.
I wish, honestly, that they had not turned... Well, I don't know. Raiden is... I think Raiden could have gone in a better direction than he has. I'm not a fan of the...
Post 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I actually was a big fan of the end of MGS2, where Snake and Raiden are side by side with their guns and then taking out all the ninja dudes or whatever. Like, I wanted that to be kind of the trajectory that Raiden was going, where he's well on his way to, you know, basically take Snake's place. Because Snake was already pulled out of retirement in the first game. Like, it would be cool to have the series just kind of transition into a Raiden game. I know that fans at the time would have pitchforks about that, because they were real, real pissed about MGS2. But I think that would have made more sense.
Well, don't worry, because MGS2 wasn't actually the last one, and MGS3 came in.
3's great!
Three is
a clean slate. Let's throw all that bullshit out the window and have some fun.
Snake Eater. That's 3. Snake Eater, without any irony, is a masterpiece.
It's so good. It's so good. And you know what's funny is all the Metal Gear fans that don't care for 3 that much because it's not Solid Snake.
The story is really...
Or that, you know, the bosses don't have enough backstory to them or any of that shit. Like, dude, MGS3 is great because it's a standalone story and it's really, really good and strong and it's fun. It's a really well-made game.
It's not as convoluted, yet it still kind of is.
Right. I mean, so I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy how convoluted Metal Gear is at times. I think that stuff like MGS3, like, there's...
3 is the perfect amount of convolution. Yeah,
like,
and
that game...
Tie
that
game over.
Is dense. It's dense, but it's... You can manage it, and it's a treat. It's a treat to, like, wrap your head around everything that's going on.
Yeah. 3, to me, has the perfect amount of tie-in with the other games as well.
Yeah.
Which you're like, oh, that's cool. Even though in, like, other medium, you'd be like... George Lucas, stop trying to tie this together.
I remember when 3 was announced and I started getting more and more info about it, I was initially kind of let down that it was a prequel and it was taking place before everything, and that it's not Snake, but they keep calling him Snake, and like that really bothered me. Like nowadays, there's more games with Big Boss than there are with Solid Snake, so they're interchangeable at this point. But when MGS3 was first being revealed, like really think about that. It's like, here's a prequel Mario game where you're not Mario, but everybody's calling him Mario and he looks just like Mario. Like, that's weird. Why are you doing this? This is, I don't know. It was off-putting. The whole concept really bothered me at first. Eventually, you know, I got over it. I'm like, all right, they're clones. This is real stupid, but you know, I'll just take it for what it is. And that game was really, really good. Of course, I forget now, but like the original version of MGS3 was kind of a train wreck to play because you couldn't control the camera. It was a top-down game,
yeah,
and you
like,
had to keep...
like they had been.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't until Subsistence that we got the perfect Metal Gear game.
I had like so many more problems with 2's fixed camera than I did with 3's. Like it might.
I don't think you played 3 with fixed camera.
No, I did. The first time through, I played like OG Metal Gear Solid 3.
Why?
I don't know, that
and
was the you, one
you
I had.
You would have to go out of your way to play it like that.
That was all I had. I got a PS2 from my friend, and somebody lent me their copy of Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh no. Okay.
So that was the first way I played through it.
Okay.
With a broken controller, too.
Good times.
Yeah.
But the good game shined through.
It did.
Yeah.
So for me, Metal Gear Solid 3, like, I kind of get why people don't like it. Of this is a Metal Gear game where they introduce the stamina bar, so you have to micromanage your... like, your energy, and if you're gonna have, like, solid health regen instead of just having rations.
Well, it's funny, I think all that shit is optional. Like, I never worry about that stuff until it's a problem, until I'm like, oh, my health is low, I should do something real quick. But, like, for the most part, that's not something you have to maintain at all. So it's not really a burden.
You have to manage your camouflage, too. Like,
oh, yeah, camouflage for sure.
You know, there's, like, there's more things to worry about. I like those things. I like having those little, like, the little, like, mini game that kind of sets up of paying attention to your stamina bar and what your camo index is, if it can be any better.
I think that the game needed something to streamline your camo equipping so you don't have to go to a stupid menu. Like, that was really out of the way, and you had to change so often.
It should have used the same system as like switching items.
Yes, definitely. Or Octo Camo,
and,
you know.
And on top of that, you had to cure your injuries. You know, so like there's a lot of micromanaging where there wasn't before. So like I understand like that being annoying to people, but you know, I like it in this case. but the big part of 3 that like I still, I don't think I'll ever forget about is just the boss. The boss is one of the very few like maternal figures in games, and just having that like relation between like a different character in the game and like the person you play as is a lot different than just like a love interest. Which I guess they're kind of like ambiguous about it, but I don't subscribe to that shit at all. Like Big Boss and the boss, they never banged or anything. Get that whack-ass shit out of my face. unless in Metal Gear Solid 5 it turns out that they did and all this shit's ruined. But, yeah, like, the boss is what makes the Metal Gear Solid 3 story for me stand out. Not so much, like, the standalone aspect of it, which, like, I get that is much easier to swallow. Like, Metal Gear Solid 3 is so much easier to go into than, I don't know, not maybe, it's probably not easier to get into than the first one, but two and four, definitely. Like,
and I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like I think it's great just because it's a standalone game, it's because the story it tells is really interesting.
Yeah, and it has like the the highest point of the series, which is like the boss fight and everything around that.
The entire final act of MGS3 is masterful.
Except for that motorcycle scene goes on way too long.
Everything from the torture scene on is the highlight of the entire series.
Except for that motorcycle scene.
Shut the fuck up, Gabe.
It goes on so fucking long.
Shut the fuck up, Gabe.
It goes on. Play it again. It goes on so long.
I don't
long.
Give a shit. Shut the fuck up, Gabe.
And then you gotta
it does go on very long.
And then you gotta escort Eva. That sucks.
And you know what? With how hard that fight is, it's still pretty fucking fun.
It's one of those things that if you're looking at it critically, like now, if you're going back and you're like trying to see what sucks about MGS3, yeah, you'll go and be like, wow, this is going on way too long. But I feel like your first time through, when you're just along for the ride, like you're invested and you're enjoying the shit out of everything you're doing. I don't know. I feel like the whole last chunk of MGS3 is so strong. And also the final cutscene, as long as it is, it always resonates for me emotionally. Like,
the final cutscene.
I don't
doesn't...
always cry, you know, manly tears or whatever, but I always think it's very impactful.
See,
the end of the third game.
The final cutscene, yes, it is long, but it doesn't. It's not just telling us random shit that this is the first time where like, we're hearing it or something like that. This is just kind of
it's twisting on what you thought you knew. Like, it's taking what you like have heard and like accepted as this is the story of like that I'm going through. Like, this is who Eva is. This is what the boss did. It takes that and says, hey, wait, no. You know, here's the whole story. As opposed to like, here's all this other bullshit that we're pulling in. It takes things that you've seen and then kind of like changes how you look at it when you play through it again.
Well, which, I was going to say, yeah, it acts like a true epilogue to the game. Whereas the other ones, it's like, oh, this is the first time hearing of this. Oh, okay.
I think it echoed the first game in a way. Maybe it wasn't exactly right at the end, but the first game pulls the rug out from under you and you find out the Colonel's been lying to you about why you're really there. You're actually there to spread Fox Dye. And then you find out that all the bosses have let you win because they need you to activate Metal Gear. Like, you just realize, oh my god, like, everything that I thought was true is not true. And then also it has a nice epilogue with the footage of those Huskies pulling the sled and Naomi's just doing her monologue about now it's just about living, Snake, you know, like, forget about war and about all these things, like, go live your life.
Lol, okay, 4 games later.
I know, like, that first game's ending is beautiful, and they've really screwed the pooch. I like to just think of an alternate universe where that is the ending. Snake and Meryl ride off into the sunset, and he starts a happy life.
I almost take each Metal Gear game, like, as its own, like, standalone bit.
That's a healthy way to look at it.
Is like, just kind of ignore connections
and
between the two.
That's exactly why 4 is the worst thing that could possibly happen.
That's kind of, I think what makes me sort of think that way is because I started with 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't experience these things before that. Like, I think what I did, I watched, like, game trailers had, like, a retrospective or something before 4 came out, so you could, like, catch up. So I watched that, so I, like, saw what happened in the first game, second game, third game. I was like, okay, that'll happen. But I'm not going to fucking remember everything that they're talking about, especially with 2. Like, none of that shit's going to, like, stay in my brain. Like, I always forget that Zero's behind everything. Like, I was like, who the hell is Zero? And I have to remind myself, like, every 6 months.
You know, Super Bunny Hop made a great point about how MGS4 didn't earn that. Where it just turned all these people from MGS3, like, you know, Paramedic and Sigint and Zero, turned them into the mastermind supervillains behind everything without earning it. Like,
yeah, it was just like, they are the people.
Yeah, these are people that you grew to like in the third game, and then it's just telling you to just accept it. Accept that these are the bad it's guys.
Like, here's Paramedic. Like, she's a patriot because, I don't know, she likes movies and stuff.
Because she was in the third game, and we yeah. gotta tie this all together. It's like poetry. It rhymes.
But, such shit. So, but before we get to four and just, like, start slinging shit everywhere, three's bosses are
the best part,
the best boss fights in the entire series.
The what? Okay, the way that I see this entire game is, it's this game is a James Bond film.
Yeah, that's exactly what. That's like the format of this movie.
It was so subtle about it.
And yeah, each wait, boss what? Fight is a James Bond villain. We got Jaws with bees. We got Jaws with fire. We got Jaws. With electricity.
I will. Okay, here's one criticism about a boss in MGS3. I don't like fighting Ocelot for the first time with that chasm in between you. It's like a whack-a-mole, but with really terrible controls. That's that, just waiting for him to poke his head out.
That's funny thing. I would say fight. The weak. Yeah, yeah, I would agree. With, that's the weakest part of the game is the Ocelot fight.
Yeah, I hate it.
Except if you shoot the bee nest.
The only like
I think Gabe, you've mentioned that you hate the Fury. I love the Fury.
Hate's a
I think
strong
he's great.
Word. I don't hate the Fury. I just hate that he's seen once in the game.
I like that because he comes out of nowhere. I'm like, who is this? What is this? I don't know. It's kind of cool, like a surprise treat. Here's a boss that you forgot about or didn't know about.
But, see, I think the end is fantastic.
The end's like, don't even play. Like that shit's the best.
that's like, I think that's Kojima's best attempt at trying to do something like Psycho Mantis again, tastefully, because all his other attempts have been real shit.
Well, like
Metal Gear Solid 4.
No, not necessarily like the like kind of like mind tricks that Psycho Mantis is of just the like. This
just
is
the,
not
the whole
this
package.
Is a, this
I
is
mean.
Not what you expect at all. Like this is a boss fight that takes up, I don't know, like is it like six different locations? Like six different like loaded areas? And you have to follow what? This guy through each one and it can take up to like an hour to do it? Like this shit doesn't exist anywhere else.
Oh, you're talking about the end. Yeah. My bad. Well, I was talking about the Sorrow. My bad.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the Sorrow is like Psycho Mantis. My bad.
Yeah.
Anyways, the end. Yeah, he's great.
Okay, that's why you talked. That's
yeah,
why you
that's
mentioned
why
Metal Gear Solid 4.
Man.
I was like, that's, huh?
I don't but remember yeah. a sniper duel like that in the fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just talking about creepy floating people that kind of break the fourth wall. The Sorrow is
so
kind of a
I, did that,
I think is a tribute to
I did that
Psycho
video
Mantis.
About Metal Gear Solid, mostly about Metal Gear Solid 3 and Negative Space, and talk about like empathy in the game, and I didn't mention the Sorrow at all. And after I published it, I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, I didn't even like put a clip of the Sorrow in there.
Yeah,
that was dumb.
Oops.
But yeah, like the Sorrow fight, if you can even call it a fight, like. Going through that the first time of when
so
I
cool.
Because I the first time I went through Metal Gear Solid 3 was like, I'm gonna kill you all. Like, I was a big fan of cutting throat, like asking for information and then cutting a throat. That was like how yeah. I went through it. And like when I started walking through that like river and seeing all those people with like busted ass necks, it's like, is it like this for everyone? I did this. And it was like that slow realization of this is everyone I killed in this game.
I think that's
so this
such
is getting
a like...
me.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just saying this is getting me pretty stoked for MGS5 because I've already heard people describe it as kind of a horror game a lot of the time. So if there's more stuff like this, but with the PT aesthetic and like, yeah, I'm actually very, very interested to see. What kind of messed up?
I feel like cool that could shit. Be like the Kojima twist on this game, like
yeah,
of that it is there to scare you.
Yeah,
we'll get to that later. We got to throw some shit around right now.
But Metal Gear Solid 3 is a masterpiece. How it can is. We follow it up is. With it anything?
Get it? Like I think I've played
it. Can
through
only
it.
Get better, right?
I've played through that game twice this year, and like I'll fucking love it each time.
I feel like we don't even need to describe our experiences because it's more like a shared experience that we.
Yeah.
I think almost everyone feels the same way here.
Yeah, I think the three of us unanimously feel the same way about 3. We all love 3.
I think I linked it to you guys, but what got me back into 3, like this year to like make me play it again, Lee Alexander wrote like a love letter to it, like on its like 10th anniversary, which I think it turned 10 last year. And it's her favorite gamer. She has like a dove tattoo. Is that the, like the no kill run reward for the game? I think that's what it is. Like so she fucking loves Metal Gear Solid. Like the boss is like one of her favorite characters, and just the way she talks about it, of yeah, there's like these issues of, you know, it doesn't feel good to shoot, but it's almost better that way because, you know, should you even want to shoot in this game? Like, should you engage other people like that, especially with a fight like the Sorrow that you know is coming up? Like, do you, like, how it changes how you approach even like a standard Metal Gear game because of fights like the Sorrow. Like, I fucking love Metal Gear Solid 3. So now, yeah. Metal Gear Solid 4, I played this game first, and I came out of this game thinking, wow, that was fucking great. I'm so happy I own a PS3 now because I got to play that game. That was an amazing video game.
So, yeah, okay, so I told you this, Gabe, or I mentioned this on our Facebook chat, but I feel like there was maybe a month, maybe a little bit less, but there was a solid month or so when after MGS4 came out where the entire industry agreed, this is a great game. This is maybe the best Metal Gear. This is so good. And then just, I don't know what the hell happened, what was wrong with all of us. But yeah, I think everybody put down the controller at the end of that game and went, man, that was something else. and then slowly but surely we started looking at it again and we're like, wait a minute. Wait, this is horrible.
So let me get this straight. What you're telling me is that this is the BioShock Infinite of 2008.
What, is BioShock Infinite horrible?
It's not horrible, but this is like, that's kind of what happened with that game. There were a lot of reviewers that like really praised it. And
they were
then,
over the moon.
Yeah, and then like a couple months later, people asked them about it, and they're like, yeah, like it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who would be like that?
I don't think MGS4 is good.
And yeah, I don't either. Like,
it's a mess.
I watched, so Giant Bomb did a playthrough of all the Metal Gear games, because Drew Scanlon, one of the guys there, had never played any of them, and Dan Reichert was like his Sherpa through it, kind of, because he fucking loves Metal Gear. And they just finished 4, and I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, this game's designed like two wholly different games, and tries to be both, but leans so hard in one direction that it makes the other play style completely pointless. And that other play style is like the no-kill run, the like be as stealthy as possible.
I'm sorry, Act 3 ruins that.
Is that the whistling while walking around London?
Yes, and no, with the motorcycle chase. And
it ends in Act 2. Like, with the top of Drebin's armored car and fucking hop on this turret. Fuck. Yeah, this is Metal Gear. You're a 75-year-old man now doing all of this shit.
And there's all these zombies climbing the thing and kick them off.
I hope none
of it felt good. None of it felt good. Like when you were on Drebin's thing, your bullets take for like everything that you're shooting from the cow Metal Gear things that are mooing all over the place, or that gate that you have to shoot open. Everything is just a bullet sponge until it reacts. It all feels like shit. And then, like, the combat when you're hand-to-hand with somebody feels weird and not great as well. Like, it's all just clunky, and everything's desaturated, and I don't know. I just hate it.
If Metal Gear Solid 2 is like Kojima saying, I don't want to make Metal Gear games anymore, Metal Gear Solid 4 is him saying, I give up. Here's your Metal Gear.
Yeah, MGS 4, I've notoriously said many times, MGS 4 is fan fiction. Yep. It is everything. Like, it's an amalgamation of all the hardcore fans that are really loud and stupid and say, I want this, I want that. It's someone going, all right, you're getting it. You're getting this. You're getting Meryl's back. Johnny's a part of the team now. Well, you know, Solid Snake is back, but I'm going to make him old and dying. But, you know, Naomi's back. Revolver's back. Liquid is also kind of back. They're the same person. Mei Ling is back. Fuck off.
The Colonel's back, too. Remember the Colonel?
What if you went back to Shadow Moses? What if you drove Rex?
So
Fuck off.
I do think the Shadow Moses bit is cool.
The beginning.
But it's not on its own. Like, it is only cool because of the first game.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And look, it was a dream come true. And this is the thing, like, it was a dream come true, and it was fan service. Getting to see Shadow Moses on PS3 graphics, walking around that, and it's years later, and Snake can remember all the stuff, like, you know, a surveillance camera, and it falls apart, and it's playing the music, and you're hearing the voice acting from Twin Snakes. And
where'd, like, Naomi's accent go?
If you loved Metal Gear like I did, and you played that part, of course you're gonna be like so happy and emotional and being like, wow, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe they built this. This is amazing. But when you take a step back and look at why they're doing it and look at the context of what's happening in this game, it's all cheap. They're going for low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, so like the first time going through is like, this is cool, like all these echoing voices, like you know, all these, like, flashbacks, and then going through it again, it's like, you guys, this isn't earned at all. Like, especially after that shit you just made me do in Act 3.
All that being said, I will give you mad props, because Crying Wolf is an excellent boss fight.
Crying Wolf is cool, but
it's really good.
All of the other ones are not.
That is the best boss fight in that game.
It's really cool. And also, like, realizing the where you are in the field, like, you're in that hallway where Sniper Wolf shot Meryl in the leg, and, like, you're in there, but it's just so full of snow that you're standing at the top of the bridge on there.
Yeah.
And then also you can go around the corner and find Liquid Snake's Hind D that crashed from the first game.
Like, is his all parachute
that little,
there, too?
Those little things. I don't remember, okay. But his fucking helicopters in there. Oh, it's just really cool stuff for fans. But that's basically it. It's a wink and a nod to fans. I don't know.
Especially
it's,
because
it's
kinda, of that
it's insulting. A lot of
PS1.
It's really insulting.
You play the there's PS1 version.
there's a fine line between a really sweet tribute to fans and straight up pandering, and it crosses that line.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking, yeah. And then we haven't even gotten to the story.
Yeah.
Do we need to?
Metal Gear Solid 4.
What if Snake's dying? All of a sudden. He's gotta be, like, in his 40s and or 50s by this point.
Even
and now
that,
he's rapidly aging.
Even that is a fucking callback to the first game with the genome soldiers.
Yeah.
Like,
they retconned shit. Like, they can't even wait through one game. They'll retcon shit that they just established earlier in MGS4. By the end of MGS4, they'll be like, oh yeah, that wasn't true.
MGS4 has the single worst explanation for anything in an entire entertainment universe. And that is, oh, Vamp survived because nanomachines.
Everything's because nanomachines.
Oh, whoa. Nanomachines.
Like, Snake, your fox dye is gonna mutate and become a virus, and you're gonna become a a weapon that could take out the whole Earth world.
Wasn't that the point of the first game? He was a weapon to take out Foxhound?
And now, right.
Oh, well, God.
And then the game, you get to the conclusion where he has to kill himself, and then they're like, oh, by the way, none of that's true. Happy ending. Okay. Okay, what?
But Snake's still dying because he's old.
And Big
Boss.
Yeah,
he's still old.
Big Boss
so it's
is
not
alive.
A happy ending. It's a bad ending, but a happy ending, but it's not.
Why the fuck is Big Boss alive?
Why is Big Boss alive? Why do they have different voices and look completely different? Why does Big Mama tell him that Liquid and Solid and Solidus don't have the same genes, even though they're clones? Why don't they have the same genes? I don't know.
Why?
Fuck you.
why does Snake look like Big Boss in the 60s? Solidus looks like Big Boss now. Why does Liquid look like Kaz?
Metal Gear Solid 4 makes perfect sense if your response to everything that they say is, okay.
Nanomachines!
It's like if they tell you, if when Big Mom is talking, they say she says all the shit she says, you go, alright.
Right. Why is Big Mama? I can't take that name serious.
Big Mama.
Big Mama. Remember that motorcycle?
Did Kojima loves movies so much, did he not know about Martin Lawrence?
Can you imagine Snake riding sidecar to Martin Lawrence?
Hey, do you guys think Eva's going to be in MGSV?
No, I think she's dead.
What? She has to be Big Mama.
No.
No, that's a clone.
It didn't happen.
Oh, it's a clone.
It's a clone.
She better be in MGSV.
I feel like this one's going to have a lot of, like, wink and nod. Because, I mean, it's Kojima. It's got to have wink and wink winks. Frank Yeager's going to be in it. Sniper Wolf's going to be in it. It's got to happen,
right?
We're going to
see baby versions of everyone. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, because, well, Big Boss found almost all of Foxhound as children.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I love that it's getting into the Les Enfants Terribles that we're going to see Liquid and Snake. The Les Enfants Terribles.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Was it French? Is French Canadian?
You didn't say it like Kiefer would, though.
Les Enfants Terribles.
That explains everything.
Which is boring.
Metal Gear Solid 4 is a fucking mess.
It is.
What's up with the Drebin and then the monkey that likes to drink soda pop?
No, but Rat Patrol 1, when you rub a napkin on it, it says Patriot.
Patriot.
Oh, okay.
They've been here the whole time.
Oh, you remember that time when they had that whole engagement fight?
See, and like... What I was talking about, like, the epilogue of Metal Gear Solid 3, like, changing what you thought you knew. Like, Metal Gear Solid 4 tries to do that, but it doesn't actually change anything. Like, Rat Patrol 1 is still there, they're still trying to kill Liquid, it's just, oh, the Patriots are, like, controlling them to do it, but, you know, that, okay, they're still doing that, it's like, the objective is still the same. Like, nothing is different other than, I guess, the Patriots were pulling strings, but that had no impact elsewhere.
You know what's bullshit in that game?
Everything, but go on.
Ocelot. Everything.
Dude, is it Ocelot or is it Liquid? Or is it Liquid Ocelot?
He hypnotized himself.
Yep.
Which
ruins two different characters now.
Yep.
At the same time. They're getting real efficient.
Right when everyone was willing to accept that this man was being controlled by an amputated arm. They throw all of that work out.
An amputated arm that looks entirely different than it did in the second game.
It looks like a fucking mech arm.
It's metal now, yeah.
Because it's Metal Gear.
I live on through this arm! You know, and if it was... being hypnotized and gene therapy or whatever the fuck they said it was.
Nanomachines.
Why did he need Liquid's actual arm at all? It's so stupid.
Everything is terrible.
We can see you retconning. I can see you back there, Kojima. You're not doing this very seamlessly at all. But I love that 80% of the Metal Gear fanboys out there are just like, God, that's fucking brilliant. Of course. Exactly.
How did I not think of this before?
Ah, jeez, it was always there. Just like Rat Patrol.
They've been here the whole time.
Okay, so, like, respect where respect is due. Like, I do really like the microwave hall.
Yes.
I really like that.
Let's
that's
name
done
the good stuff about 4. I bet we can do it really quick.
I was legit jumping up and down, mashing triangle, yep. Going, go, Snake, go! Yeah. I was so into it. Loved it.
And then it's like, you see, and like, just the way they like splice it with the cutscenes playing on top.
Yes.
Like, you know, that's pretty cool.
Great.
What's not cool is Johnny Sasaki being like, Meryl, I love you.
Let's get married.
And then Meryl's like, not now. And then like a minute later, I want to be a bride. I want to have a wedding, a real one. It's like, what just happened?
You guys are still talking about things that are bad. I said, let's talk about the good things.
it's literally
only like 4 things. Come on.
At first, I thought the Beauty and the Beast bosses were really cool because like I'd fight them and then Drevin would be like, oh, they went through all this shit. And then now it's like, that's stupid. Why didn't like they tell me that? Why do I have to do that horrible thing at like after each fight where they just dodge bullets and there's nothing I can do about it, so I just have to keep shooting in the same place? Why is Drevin in this game? Who are you?
Okay.
Who are you?
Here we go. I'm gonna do it for you guys.
Okay.
Microwave Hall.
Yes.
Octo Camo.
Yes.
The sniper duel.
Yes.
The
Sunny.
Controls are actually pretty solid.
Yeah. It is the easiest Metal Gear game to get into.
At that time.
Until now.
Ground Zeroes feels real good.
It does.
And I bet
it does.
Phantom Pain feels even better.
Yes, it does. I agree with you there. But for the, when
also,
this came out...
Peace Walker with the controller is great.
Yep. When this came out, it was like, wow, that's cool. I can flip over.
I can shimmy backwards. And I can aim
and walk. Yeah.
I can use my butt cheeks to push me along the ground.
I can grip stuff with my butt cheeks.
That's it. I'm done. That's good.
You can crush men's testicles.
That's everything. Okay, the iPod too. The iPod. Everything else sucks.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Upgrading weapons was kind of cool.
Remember when they were playing up that, oh, there's a battlefield, or there's a battle going on.
And you can choose the side, and that doesn't matter at all.
Doesn't matter.
I can't even tell there were sides. I saw people shooting at me, and so I shot back. I didn't know who they were.
Typical. Yeah, MGS4 is some hot garbage.
Yeah. Man.
It's, I guess, worth playing if you're a fan, if you're playing through the series. I don't know.
And, like, every Metal Gear game before that introduced, a new character. The only characters Metal Gear Solid 4 introduced were Drevin and the Beast, which are arguably one person. Because...
Remember at the end when it tells you that all of them were controlled by Psycho Mantis in nanomachine form?
It actually was Psycho Mantis controlling, Screaming Mantis?
Yeah, and the rest of the beasts.
Because I knew Screaming Mantis was controlling all of them. That was, at the beginning.
Crying Wolf is the only good one.
Yep. The only good boss fight. Don't really give a shit about her character. You know,
she doesn't have a character.
You know those 4, women are just models that Kojima liked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm gonna put them in the game.
Dude, that was okay, so me and Javi, again, watched the videos of this thing religiously. We were still in high school. When the first Triwars came out.
Yeah.
And then we were in college while we were watching the rest of the videos.
I think didn't it come out 2007, like a year after?
Came
high
out
school?
In 2008.
Yeah, August.
But the
08.
First trailer hit in 2006 while we were still in school.
Wow. Okay.
And that was that long 8-minute one where,
I watched it to death. Yeah.
He's cutting watermelons. I mean,
he turned
the power of a watermelon.
I had even worse. I had a really hard time getting over Snake being old. Even now I see it and I'm like, oh god.
I think
like,
Snake being old is fine.
Well, if you
him
remember,
being old is fine. Him having that mustache is not. And also the...
You don't like Burt Reynolds?
No, and the solid eye looks bad. It's bad character design. I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently, so I learned this from the Giant Bomb playthrough. That whole, like, Meryl and Giant Sasaki, like, shootout scene. Kojima likes Mr. and Mrs. Smith, so he wanted a scene like that in the movie, or in the game.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Kojima started actively role-playing paramedic.
Oh.
Just started throwing movie shit everywhere.
So can we get out of this pit?
Yeah.
This big muddy pit? Just
like, I feel bad.
Yeah. And then Peace Walker happened.
Peace Walker's great.
What the fuck?
But Peace Walker has a really dumb story.
Yeah, what were they thinking?
It's like
Big Boss just forgot? Well, did he just forget?
It's like they kind of play it as he's not telling anyone that Big Boss or that the boss was actually like not a traitor and a hero.
You remember that amazing poignant ending of Metal Gear Solid 3?
Yeah.
Yes.
We just talked about it.
You remember you know how we're going to ruin that?
By making
just pretend it didn't happen.
By mirroring shooting the boss by shooting a horse.
Having Snake openly ask, "Why, boss? Why did you defect?" What? The audience all knows that Snake knows. You can't retcon that shit. But apparently you can, because I've never seen anybody ask this question. And it drives me crazy. Everybody just thinks Peace Walker's a great story. Oh, it stands alone and it's really strong. And you just, you know, why... Snake is wondering why he's hearing this tape recording of the boss. And that's it. That's all you need to know. But no. No. If you've played MGS3, you know that that's not right.
If there is one thing I do really like about the story of Peace Walker, and it's Dr. Strangelove. I really like Dr. Strangelove. She's a cool character.
I feel like that name is so on the nose.
Yep.
It's so... God.
Well, okay, no, hold up. Yes, it is on the nose, but it's also, as a movie fan, a reference to a movie.
I know.
That's why it's on the nose.
That's why it's on the nose.
Oh, I thought you guys were, like, criticizing, like, because she was a lesbian, right?
She's bisexual. But, yeah.
Which, I mean, this series...
fell in love with the boss. And...
This series isn't...
Subtle.
Or...
But it's like calling the facility in Dino Crisis, calling it Jurassic Park. There's nothing creative about that.
But I still do like the character.
And don't get me wrong, I like Peace Walker just fine. And especially as a PSP game, it's a marvel what they pulled off. That game is bigger than most, if not all, of the Metal Gear games before it. Yeah. And it's a handheld game.
Yeah.
Which is, goddamn, that's amazing.
Peace Walker, in my mind, Peace Walker is fantastic if you ignore everything that's happening in cutscenes.
My issue is that it doesn't feel like Metal Gear to me. It doesn't feel like what I fell in love with. It's not one... I mean, there is a main storyline that's going through, but since it's all cut up into little missions and there's all these side missions that come in between, and it just... The real story and the real objective and whatever the hell is going on, it all gets lost for me. I forget what the hell I'm doing and where the story left off after I've done like two or three side missions, and I don't feel as engaged or in tune with what's happening, especially because a lot of the codec conversations are just those tapes that you have to listen to on your own free time, and I don't really care for how it's done. Like, you click on a tape and then you just stare at a photo while they talk, and you don't know if it's relevant or not. So I feel like Peace Walker was the first of the Metal Gear games where I'm not really sure what happens in the big picture. You know, I don't feel like I got that whole story, even though I played the game.
Nuclear deterrence.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense.
You remember all those themes in the third game? Yeah, yes. we're just going to talk about them a bit more in this game and act like the end of the third game never happened. That game rides the coattails of Snake Eater so hard.
It does. It does that way too much. Like with when that cutscene where you have to kill the horse, just like you have to kill the boss. And in case you didn't see the relation between the two, they make you kill the boss again right after you kill the horse.
La la la.
And all the bosses are like, all the bosses are always people. Always fucking people, and now it's just stupid fucking robots.
So I don't understand. Peace Walker is such a departure from the rest of the series, and it disregards one of the best games in the series, the third one. I don't understand how it's so many Metal Gear fans think it's the best or one of the best. Like, it's good. It's kind of a spin-off, though. You know, it just in mechanics and in the kind of story it's telling and the comic book cutscenes. I know that they're limited on the PSP, and the comic book cutscenes are cool, but they're, I don't know, all of it feels like a spin-off. It doesn't feel like it's a main title. And maybe I'm alone in thinking that.
It feels pretty legit to me. Like, it feels like
it belongs.
But it's also, like, I get the departure part because it's all, like, micro-mission-based. Like, you can select missions to do at any time. It's not just, like, one straight path.
Yeah, you were never managing and collecting soldiers. You were never building up your arsenal. I guess in MGS4 with Drebin you were doing that a little bit. But, which I didn't like. I didn't care for that. It shouldn't be a part of the game. I like OSP, on-site procurement of your weapons. You're one man alone trying to save the world on a mission. Like, that's what appeals to me. That's why I actually really like Splinter Cell Blacklist. Like, that feels like where I wanted Metal Gear to go. Like, make the controls much more streamlined so you have... Like, the thing about Metal Gear is you're always fighting the limitations of the controls. Metal Gear has always been clunky, all of them, even the best ones. And I think that I wanted to see the games kind of come into the modern era and remove that obstacle that is the controls and then let you just use your skill to, you know, sneak in and complete the mission.
That's something I'm very excited about 5-4. It's so much easier to play, but it is so much easier to get caught.
Right. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so...
Let's just go into, what we like about, or want from 5. And then we can wrap this up.
Okay.
Oh, we forgot to talk about Portable Ops. Oops.
And Ground Zeroes.
Well, Ground Zeroes and 5 are the same fucking game. Don't kid yourself.
No!
The same thing.
No! Ground Zeroes didn't have a e-cigarar.
It didn't have that... What's it called in the fucking game?
I don't know. The day-to-night cigar?
I don't know. Whatever.
Time cigar.
Yeah, we'll just go... Pine we'll go salt. With that.
Alright, MGS 5, I think it's gonna be Peace Walker with Ground Zero graphics.
Yeah.
If that's all but confirmed, I mean, that's what it is. That's what
Except and you know what? That's cool with me.
Yeah, I think that I could get behind that. There's so much to do. People have said that they put in 7 days straight and are only like 20-something percent through the game. So it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I'm almost worried it's too big.
Yeah, it's going to be a Arkham Knight kind of thing. There's just too much crap.
Yeah, I hope that they make sure that the main missions feel important and that, like, yeah, it's totally fine to just go through that way.
I would love if there was two settings for the game. Like, have one that's, like Peace Walker, where you have your giant list, and you know, as you do missions, it unlocks two or three at a time, and there's the optional ones or the story ones. I hope that there's that, and then there's classic mode, where it, I would even prefer you never go to Mother Base, and you just go mission, and there's no stop in between.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that, and I would play that and then go back. But I highly doubt that's an option. Maybe you unlock it after you beat the game.
Yeah. Like, I always forget kind of like thinking about this until you bring it up, but I do hope they kind of lean in on that horror aspect.
Yeah.
Not like in like gore porn, which is kind of what the end of Ground Zeroes felt like. I don't want that, which I think
that, like, was just awkward.
There was a lot I don't like about the ending of Ground Zeroes. But I like, from some of the trailers, it looks like they're going for like the shock value of like, look how like violent this is, and which I don't really care for. That's like what we were saying earlier of not things not being earned, and like those emotions are like cheap thrills that I don't like. Like, I don't like Saw movies or Hostel, so I'm not gonna like that.
I don't think, like, I think there's a place for that kind of thing where it's not cheap. I'm skeptical if Kojima can handle what he's getting into with grace.
Yeah.
But it's entirely possible. He has a lot of people around him, hopefully
a bunch of yes men, you know,
the right way. Maybe, but look, he's on several occasions compared Snake's story in MGSV to Walter White, where he wants to show a man's descent into darkness, where like a protagonist does questionable things to where you're like, I don't think he's a good person anymore. And I think the game's gonna go there, and it's gonna be uncomfortable, but if it earns it and like goes there and in a way where it tells an interesting story and you're invested in it, I'm okay with it going dark.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it getting really graphic. I expect it to. I just hope that it's not, like you said, a cheap thrill. I hope it's not what we saw in Metal Gear Solid 4, where it's like, oh, feel this way because you're supposed to. You know, don't make it blatant. Make it, I don't know, well, ease us in or surprise us and shock us, but like,
just like Kojima's
in a good way.
Kind of track record of like his sort of like juvenility towards a lot of things, which isn't like inherently a bad thing, but when you like compare that to how he is like talking about approaching this game of, you know, getting like going that like farther than he has before, getting really dark, and like just a Metal Gear game is inherently goofy. So in this game, yeah, you have the box that you can disguise as a soldier or a woman in a swimsuit. I think just a bikini, right? I don't think it's like some old timey like One Piece. And then people think that's real for some fucking reason, but
you could have a horse take a shit in the middle of the street
and have a car spin out, and then everyone gets knocked out in that car, and then you pick that car up and you send it into the sky, and then like you have all of that compared to like
a rape scene,
which happens in Ground Zeroes, and it's cheap.
The juxtaposition
and not
is
earned, and it's fucking gross.
Yeah,
I hate the end of Ground Zeroes so much, and that's what I'm so scared about Metal Gear Solid 5 for.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. We haven't played it yet, but more likely than not, it's gonna have some uncomfortable shit. I just hope it's handled with grace.
Yeah. Dylan.
What up?
What do you think about Metal Gear Solid 5? Javi and I have been dominating this.
I know, I don't really... I've been actually trying to avoid as much as I can about it.
Mm.
But I can't help but look at some things. Like, DD!
DD's awesome.
DD's gonna be the best part of the game!
Yeah.
Did you guys see that Kojima is editing another trailer?
No, I didn't.
The E3 yeah. one isn't his last.
That's yeah, pretty I cool. That. I might it's watch that launch one trailer. Then.
He said like in his tweet that like no spoilers or anything in it.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I just want to say that DD is a true diamond dog.
DD's so cool.
I love the buddy system. First off, I've taken a look at a little bit of the buddies, and DD and Quiet are probably the two coolest ones.
Throwing a grenade in the air so Quiet can shoot it into a helicopter.
Yes,
it's fucking stupid and cool.
I don't give a shit.
It's weird to me. I don't know. I'm probably gonna use it very carefully or sparingly or if at all because. Sparingly, if at all, because if they die in the field, they're permadead.
If DD dies, so I'm reloading the game.
Right? Yeah. It's like, I don't know how easy it is for your buddy to get killed.
And just in, like, old time's sake, I'll probably try to, like, approach most missions by myself.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I feel like I had something else to say about Metal Gear Solid 5. Oh, yeah, I'm terrified that they're going to fuck with the boss again.
Yeah, just leave that alone.
He might have learned his lesson and just decided to quit.
I don't know. The AI pod is in one of the trailers.
Is it really?
Yep.
Sure is.
And the end of Peace Walker is the fucking boss drowning herself. It's her going away. Supposed to be forever. That's why she did it.
I'm worried because I mean, what's to say? Cypher played a heavy role in Ground Zeroes,
and he is.
And Cypher is Major Zero.
Yep.
And so I'm like, are they gonna like ham fist some paramedic and Sigints and all that?
Yeah,
in there?
Just anything that can get related to those like last info dumps of MGS4. Stay away, but
don't even talk about them. I guess at this point you have to talk about Cypher.
I feel like it's impossible. It's not impossible, but it is the impossible dream to think that that won't happen. I feel like there are going to be a lot of connections to MGS4 in this.
I think mostly it's going to be. Yeah, it's gonna link MGS3 to 4. I think we're gonna see the inner workings of the Patriots probably, and
GW. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have too big a problem with that. Maybe like as long as it's earned, as we've said many times. If Paramedic and Sigint are still kind of the people that we knew in 3, and we get to see them kind of where they're going to become who they become. It could be interesting. So, like, did you know the DARPA chief, the guy that gets the heart attack in MGS1, that's Sigint? And then the doctor that Naomi kills because they were doing horrible experiments on Frank Yeager, that doctor is Paramedic. Like, there's some fucked up shit that these people end up doing. It's interesting.
And it's like, I'm we'll see. I feel like you can't avoid Cypher and Major Zero at this point.
On the other hand, they may not touch on it whatsoever. This might just be a self-contained little story about the Big Boss and
Outer
his
Heaven.
Fall from grace. Yeah, it might not have anything to do with the Patriots.
Which that'd be cool, too. I mean, that'd be preferable.
I mean, we've talked about how Kojima retcons shit all the time. I'm totally happy if he retcons shit from Metal Gear Solid 4. Just fuck it. Just ignore it. It's not. I'm totally fine with that. That game, I hate it. And then I just tweeted, Metal Gear Solid 4 is a bad game. I think I tweeted that like a week ago. Like, no context, just that. And then Hayden White said, maybe, but it's a great movie. And it's not even that. I think he said it jokingly. I'm going to take it as he said it jokingly. But no, fuck every part of that game. No one cares about Raiden or his kid or Rose and all that shit. And Rose marrying, like, Colonel Miller or whatever the fuck his name is.
Well, the funny thing is, if you did care about Raiden and his kid, well, don't worry. He becomes a robot all over again the next time you see him. And not one mention about his child or his wife and that he promised he would be around for.
Which is how it should be.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Rising is a better story.
I want to touch on MGS5. Did I just lose it? Damn it. I had something on the tip of my tongue that I wanted to talk about.
Mother Base Organization.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm spent.
You're out?
I'm out. Tapped out.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to talk about how if you look at Metal Gear Solid 1, when Liquid is pretending to be Master Miller, mm-hmm. which is Kaz.
Mm-hmm.
So Snake talks to him as if he taught him everything he knows. So you would presume that young Solid Snake grew up, or at least at one point was trained by Miller. And then Liquid talks about how he always resented their father because he was always told he was the shittier son, shittier clone. So I'm hoping that this shows a little bit of that. I hope that you get to see, maybe the game ends with Kaz taking Solid to raise him or whatever, and then Big Boss taking Liquid, and then, you know, that sets them off on their destinies. I think that would be cool to, like, see where they break apart and what happens from there. I hope it covers that. I want to see Baby Solid and Baby Liquid and what they were like as kids.
Well, it looks like you will.
Yeah. I hope that Liquid still sounds British and weird.
I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah?
I mean,
probably not.
They've changed so many voices from Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yeah.
And if fucking Snake isn't safe, then who is?
No one. True.
Yeah, so...
All right. Anybody else want to say anything about MGS5?
Dylan, you got anything else?
Not really. I went all out with this game with the special edition and all that.
I think we all did.
We should connect our arms and make one of... Oh, we should get a red balloon and then tape all of our arms to it, and it'll be one of those things from MGS4.
Aww.
Just those fucking ball arms.
That's wasn't that Revengeance?
Those were in Revengeance,
too. It was also in that.
You got to play as one in Revengeance. God, Revengeance is so fucking good.
This is a game that I haven't been this excited for a game in quite some time. So
I'm right there with you. Yeah. I haven't been as excited for a game since Infinity 3.0, which comes out one day earlier.
I think the last time I was excited for a game this much was Metal Gear Solid 4.
How'd that turn out?
Kill me.
Real bad.
All right.
This is Kojima's last hurrah, so let's make it a good one.
I mean, after all this time, fuck it better be.
Yeah.
But I think all in all, we can agree that Metal Gear Solid is the worst, best franchise in video games.
It is the mixest of bags. It is the best and the worst of video games.
Fuck all video games forever.
I love the game to death. I have a tattoo of the game, and it means a whole lot to me. So much that, you know, I mean, I wrote that whole post where I was so frustrated at that point by MGS4, looking back on it, and Peace Walker was not what I was being told it was. It wasn't a masterpiece. It was kind of frustrating for me in that it didn't fit for me. It didn't acknowledge MGS3, and in fact it just ignored it, and then, you know, it was just perpetuating this bad taste in my mouth that the game, that the franchise had. And then MGS5 was announced, and it's another fucking prequel, and so, like, Solid Snake doesn't matter at all. Like, he's not the protagonist anymore, period, you know. And then the Now Boss has a robot hand, which was never a part of canon. He never had a robot hand in Metal Gear or Metal Gear 2 or Metal Gear Solid 4. Like, it's like, what are they doing? And then he has a fucking horn in his forehead. I was at wit's end. I was writing the fucking franchise off. Like, this is so stupid. Are they just trying to push it as far into dumbassville as they can? I was just frustrated as hell, and I wrote this blog, Goodbye Metal Gear. I'm done being a super fan of this, because I can only take so much. It's embarrassing. I was, like, embarrassed to, like, say I love Metal Gear so much. But, I mean, time heals all wounds. Metal Gear Solid 5 looks solid. Ground Zeroes was really good, really strong. I mean, obviously, we have problems with the ending. It, you know, it's kind of tasteless there. But as far as, like, a game, how it played, how it looked, how it sounded, how it felt, like, it was all pretty good. It's kind of like where I want Metal Gear to go. Yeah, and, you know, the look of Big Boss is still pretty damn stupid with his robot arm and his horn and all that shit. But you know, it's grown on me a lot fucking faster than Old Snake ever did. Old Snake I still don't care for. But so yeah, I am very, very excited for MGS5. But all those frustrations I've had, and like I still acknowledge all of those things. I still feel that way about a lot of it. MGS4 is like a slap in the face, and Peace Walker is not as good as everybody will have you believe. But 5, I'm very excited for it. I wanted to touch on that article I wrote last year in case anybody's like, I thought you hate Metal Gear now. What is this? So,
anyways. I just, like, when you're talking about that, I had a realization that you're, like, the equivalent of that for me is Evangelion and the rebuilds. Of the rebuilds is where it's come, and what everyone fucking loves now, and that kind of makes me resent it. Of this.
Interesting.
Is, yeah.
So it's like, I was here from the beginning, and this is not what it was. And everybody's like, well, that's what it is, and if you like it, then you have to like this new stuff. And you're like, no! That's not right! But, yeah, we're all looking forward to the next Evangelion movie. No, we're not.
I am, because that's the last one, and then it's gone. Maybe forever.
So is he getting fired? Is he also getting fired?
Hot scoops.
Yeah. So that has been episode 192 of Game Over Nation. What do you think of Metal Gear Solid? Do you think we're all crazy people? Is MGS4 better than all the other ones?
It's not.
Let us know in the comments.
Don't let us know.
If we've frustrated any of you hardcore fans with shit we've said. Have we been... good. Have we been wrong with any analyses we've made? Let us know. All right, we will catch you guys on episode 193 coming up soon. Tomorrow, in fact. Until then, have a good night.